Well, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, brother.
I want to tell you about a truck driver. He was driving and he stopped off at a roadside diner, wanted to get himself a bite to eat. So he ordered a hamburger, a milkshake, and a piece of apple pie. And about the time that he got his order, three bikers come through the door, and these guys were looking for trouble. So they came over to the truck driver, and first biker reached down, grabbed his hamburger, took a big old bite out of it, set it down. Second biker grabbed his milkshake, took a big old gulp of it, set it down. The third biker grabbed his apple pie, ate the whole thing minus the crust, and just set it back down on the table. Well, the truck driver, he didn't say a word. He just got up, paid his tab, and walked out the door. So the three bikers, laughing amongst herself, turned and said to the waitress, "That trucker, he's sure not much of a man, is he?" And the waitress said, "Well, he's not much of a driver because he just ran over three choppers on his way out of here."
Oh, no.
So tonight I want to talk to you about anger.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
So if you would please turn to your Bibles into Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, please.
Yeah.
Now, if we're being honest, I'm sure we all would agree that we've all battled the giant of anger from time to time.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you something. Do you get angry? Of course you do. You get angry. I get angry. We all get angry. Do you get angry when you spill something or knock something over? Do you get angry when somebody cuts you off in traffic?
Mm.
How about when someone says something unkind to you?
Mm.
You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9, the Bible says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools."
Ooh.
Amen.
So, to help us understand the power of anger, let us look at the first person to have said to ever been angry, and that's Cain.
Mm.
Everybody in chapter 4, you mean amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him."
Mm.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, help us today to dive into your word to see what it is that you want to show us about anger, Lord. Lord, I pray that you give me the words to speak to your people.
Yes, God.
Lord, help me to say what I need to be said. Lord, help me to refrain from anything I don't. Fill me with your Holy Spirit,
yes,
Lord.
Gracious.
And may you be glorified in this. In Jesus' name,
yes,
I pray and ask it. Amen.
Amen.
So what we see here is in Genesis 4 is that Cain got angry because God rejected his offering.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Cain tried to come to God his own way. And when God said no, Cain got mad. Why?
Mm.
Well, the simple answer is because he didn't get his way.
Mm.
Yeah.
He didn't get his way. Now, before we go off judging Cain, we need to ask ourselves this question. How often do we get mad when we don't get our way?
Yeah, true.
How often do we get mad when we don't get our way? Mm. When we're running late for work and that car in front of us is going too slow. When that line at the bank just seems really too long. Mm. How about when the things that we prayed for didn't work out the way that we wanted them to?
Mm. Yeah.
And you know, we get angry when things don't go our way, and if left unchecked, it can and will lead us down a road of destruction.
Yes, sir.
You know, anger is an emotion that's experienced very early on in life. You look at a young child who doesn't get his way. If that child is not properly trained on how to deal with those emotions and feelings, that child lashes out.
Yep.
We call it a temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happens to us as adults if we never learn how to properly deal with our emotions and our anger.
True.
In Proverbs 25:28, the Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls."
Ooh.
So, what is the root problem when it comes down to anger? Where does it all stem from? Control.
Mm.
Control. The problem is control. If this person doesn't do what I want them to do, if this situation doesn't go the way that I want it to go, if I don't get my way, if I.
Mm.
Are we recognizing a pattern here?
Yeah, Lord help us.
It's a control problem. It's a heart problem. And not only that, but it's also an accountability problem.
Mm.
You see, we live in a world today where nobody wants to take accountability for their own actions.
Mm.
We are quick to push it off onto somebody else. It's somebody else's fault. If they didn't act that way, I wouldn't have acted this way. If these things wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have done this. We even wake up mad.
Mm.
There's times where we get up in the morning and we're not in the right frame of mind. We're not in the good spirit. And instead of recognizing that, what do we say? Oh, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Mm. Lord help us.
You ever notice when we get angry, it's always somebody else's fault? We never want to take ownership for it.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's nothing new. That's nothing new at all. In fact, if we look back at Genesis 3, the fall of creation, when God questions Adam in the garden, he says, "Did you eat of the fruit of the tree that I commanded you not to?" And Adam, he didn't even try to own any of it.
No.
Instead, he threw his wife Eve completely under the bus.
Yeah.
And at the same time, tried to throw a little blame God's way.
Yeah.
He said, "It was the woman that thou gavest me."
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, he was quick to blame anybody else but himself.
Right.
Then Eve, she did the same exact thing. She deflected all the blame off of her as well.
Yeah.
It was the serpent.
Mm.
The serpent, it was his fault. He beguiled me. It wasn't my fault. It was his fault. We need to start taking accountability for our actions.
Amen.
We need to start owning what we've done, what we've said,
yes,
how we act, and we need to confess it humbly to the Lord.
Mm.
Now, anger in itself, is not a sin. Jesus himself got angry in the temple when he turned over the tables of the money changers. In Matthew 21, verse 13, this is Jesus speaking. He said unto them, "It is written that my house shall be a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves."
Right.
Anger in itself is not a sin. It's how we use that anger. The big difference between the types of anger you see is, see, God's anger is what's called righteous indignation.
Yeah.
Our anger, if not used or exercised properly, is nothing more than plain old sin.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, the Bible tells us, "Be ye angry and sin not."
Amen.
"Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now that last part of verse 27 is so important. Neither give place to the devil. You know why that last part is so important? Because anger is a tool that the devil uses.
Yes.
The devil uses anger to pit us against one another. He uses that divide and conquer strategy.
Yeah.
Remember, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
The devil can't create anything on his own. So what he does is he takes the things of God and he twists them and perverts them for his own sinful purposes.
Right.
And that's what he does with anger. God's anger is righteous and true. He takes anger that we use and uses it for sinful purposes.
That's right.
All you got to do is just look around and see what's going on in our city, in our world. Everybody's so angry all the time.
So heartbreaking.
Everybody's just so mean-spirited all the time. Just take a look at the violence in our city.
Yeah.
I did some research, and I found that from 2022 to 2025, there have been a total of 312 murders in the city of Jacksonville. In 3 years... 312 people have lost their lives due to anger. And in fact, just this week, we had two incidents here. We had a road rage shooting on I-95, and we had a drive-by shooting on I-10. And this evening in Michigan, there was somebody who shot up a church, drove his car into the church and shot it up. Evil is alive in this world.
Yeah.
And it's fueled by anger and hatred.
Yeah. God help us.
Have you ever noticed that when two people argue with each other, their voices get louder and louder? Each one gets louder and louder as if to dominate the other and to drown out the other voice of the other person.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear what the other person has to say. I heard one time somebody said, if you are already thinking about your response when someone is talking to you, you are to have no intention of listening to what they have
Amen.
To say.
Amen.
And it's true. And I have found myself doing that from time to time, and I need help in that area. When we dominate the conversation, when our voices rise to match the other person's voice, all we're doing is we are escalating the situation into further chaos.
Yeah.
And when this happens, you become like a bull in a bullfight.
Right.
Have you ever seen a bullfight on television?
Yeah.
In a bullfight, there's a man in the ring with the bull, and he's called a matador. And he waves that red cape in front of that bull, and it enrages that bull. There's a name for that. We call it seeing red. That bull sees that red cape and he doesn't care about anything else in that moment except destroying that red cape and whoever is holding it. And my friend, when you get to the point in your anger when you're seeing red, you too will care nothing about anything except destroying whatever is in front of you, and the consequences of your actions could cost you everything.
That's right. That's so true.
You get in that tunnel vision. When your anger takes over, you get in that tunnel vision where nobody can talk you down. Nothing around you matters. All you see is red, and until you are satisfied, you will not come down from that state. And that is a dangerous place to be.
God help us.
To my shame, I've been there a time or two. I've got so wrapped up in being angry with something that I've allowed it to just completely ruin my whole day.
Yeah.
The whole day would be thrown off because I allowed something to negatively affect me in a way that all I could do was see it and not anything else going on around me. And that should not be.
Amen.
So what's the answer? Do we take away the guns? No. That won't solve the problem.
No, sir.
Well, how do you know that, preacher? I'll tell you how I know. How I know is because the very first recorded murder in the history didn't involve a gun or a knife.
No.
It was due to anger and jealousy. It was Cain slewing his brother Abel.
Yeah.
It's not a weapon problem. It's a heart problem.
Amen.
So then how do we fix this? How do we fix this problem of anger that all of us deal with? Two ways. First and foremost, we turn back to God.
Amen.
We turn back to God. We ask for His help to change our sinful hearts of anger and violence and replace it with a new heart of love, understanding, mercy, and compassion.
Amen.
That's the first thing we got to do. Yeah. Until we do that, anything else we do prior to that is not going to work. This world will tell you, well, you can just go to anger management classes. That will not work. The heart is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
We cannot change our sinful nature of our heart without the help of Almighty God.
Amen. God, help us, please.
And the second way that we fix this problem is we recognize the warning signs. We recognize the warning signs. When we feel that temperature begin to rise inside of us, we need to recognize it for what it is.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
We need those red flags of warning. We need those alarm bells to go off.
Yes.
We need them to pop up in our mind and let us know of the danger that lies ahead, and we need to immediately shut those feelings down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jesus said, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Yeah. When those evil thoughts and those evil feelings and intentions come into your mind and all about wanting to do evil to somebody, you line that up with what Scripture says and what Jesus says. And if it don't match up with what God says, you get it out of there.
Amen.
Think of it as the 5-second rule. If you don't get it out of there in 5 seconds, you're going to dwell on it, you're going to entertain it, and you're going to proceed in that way. You have to get rid of it the second it shows up. Otherwise, you're going to be more likely to entertain it and do it.
That's good.
So here's your takeaway. The next time someone says something mean or rude to you, turn the other cheek.
Amen.
Look, it's not going to be easy, okay? I'll be the first one to tell you. It's hard. It's hard to swallow it. This world lives in a way where they teach you to step on each other, claw your way to the top. You do you. Go get your own bag. Don't worry about anybody else.
Yeah.
It's hard.
That's
why we have to lean to the Spirit and not the flesh.
Amen. God will help us.
We have to feed the Spirit. The animal that you feed is the one that's going to grow.
Yeah.
If you feed the flesh is constantly going to rule over you.
Right.
If you feed the Spirit is going to get stronger. Just as someone who works out and trains, their muscles get bigger.
Amen.
When we feed the spiritual muscles that God gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that spirit will get bigger. And in turn, the flesh spirit will get weaker.
Amen.
A choice has to be made. You have to choose, and it's hard in that moment. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's going to be easy because it's not. That's why Paul calls it a battle.
Yes, it is.
So the next time someone says something mean to you or rude to you, turn the other cheek. And in that moment, remember how James tells us to respond. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Yes.
Take a moment to let it process. You don't have to answer someone that very split second.
Amen.
When you make those knee-jerk reactions, those knee-jerk decisions, and say those knee-jerk impulse thoughts to come into your head, in my own experience, it never works out for my good.
Amen.
It always ends badly because my mouth starts talking before my brain can process what was happening.
Yeah.
And before you know it, I've theoretically put my own foot in my own mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't take a second to process everything.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, a soft answer turns away wrath,
Amen.
But grievous words stirreth up anger. If someone says something mean to you, they automatically expect you to say something mean back to them in return. But if you, for lack of a better word, flip the script on them and you present them back with something kind and humble yourself, even if you're in the right, if you turn the other cheek, it's, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. You're immediately going to throw them off because they're not expecting that. And in turn, it may open their eyes to them saying, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have acted like that to that person. We're called to be different.
Yes.
We're called to be set apart.
Amen.
We're called to be separate from the world. And the only way that we're going to be separate from the world is if we live differently from the world.
Yes, amen.
The next time somebody rides your bumper on the road and gives you the one finger wave as they go by, just let it go. Just let it go.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
That's right.
It's not worth it. There are more people in jail and in the grave right now that allowed their own emotions to run wild and cause them to act out in anger, and it didn't end well for them.
Right.
You go talk to people in jail right now who've been there for road rage incidents.
Yeah.
And they will tell you now that they've had a chance to calm down.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't have done that.
Right.
There's people in the grave right now that wish that they wouldn't have got out of that car and started that argument over something that was so petty.
Amen.
We also have to keep in mind that we don't know what somebody else is going through.
No.
My wife is very quick to tell me this all the time. She always says, Brian, you don't know that person there that's acting out and being mean to you. Something could have happened in their life, in their house that morning that has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Amen.
But they're hurting and they're lashing out.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with you. You know, oftentimes, and I'm still trying to learn this. A lot of times as Christians and believers and changed individuals in Christ, we live a different way. We look at things a different way. And we automatically expect the unsaved world to do the same thing. We look at them and we're like, why can't they love like we love?
Oh, God, no.
Because they're not saved.
Amen.
We were once like that.
Amen.
But we forget that because now Jesus has given us a new heart. He's given us the gift of His Holy Spirit. So we, in turn, think differently. We, in turn, act differently. And we struggle sometimes when we wonder why they're not acting like we are. It's because they're not saved.
That's right.
They don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything apart from Jesus.
No.
That's why they act that way. And we need to recognize that for what it is.
Yes.
We need to have mercy. Well, truth be told, we need to have mercy and compassion on them.
Amen.
Instead of being mad at them and matching their energy and rising to their level, we need to pray for them.
Amen.
We need to look at them and say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that are mean to you and despitefully use you. In closing,
Lord, help us.
If you're struggling with the giant of anger, let me be the first to tell you that you're not alone.
That's right.
You're not alone. I struggle in this area. I need God's help in this area.
Right.
In fact, I'm preaching to myself on this subject a whole lot more than I'm preaching to any of you people.
Yeah. Lord, help us.
I need to turn the other cheek more often.
That's all right.
I need to pray. I need prayer in this area.
Yeah.
I need help in this area.
God.
And I know that every time that an opportunity presents itself like this, it's nothing more than God trying to teach me to be more and more like Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
God puts tests in front of us.
Yes, He does.
And honestly, truth be told, I fail them more than I pass them.
Amen.
Which is why a lot of times I repeat the same tests over and over and over again. But I'm thankful that God keeps giving me the tests because that means He hasn't given up on me.
Amen.
It means He hasn't wrote me off. It means that there's still hope for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's still hope for you.
Amen.
If you're struggling with the giant of anger or any other giant that you're facing, don't just throw in the towel. Don't ever just give up.
Amen.
Don't ever just, well, if you can't beat them, join them. No. If you fall and you mess up, you get right back up.
Yes.
Proverbs 24:16, the Bible says, seven times.
Yes.
A righteous man falleth seven times and yet riseth right. again.
Amen.
We get back up.
Amen.
We don't stay down.
Amen.
The enemy wants to keep you down.
Amen.
He wants you to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
He wants you to give up. We don't do that. As Christians, we do not give up. Jesus didn't give up carrying that cross to Calvary.
No.
We don't give up continuing to work out our salvation
Amen.
Through faith and trust
Amen.
And the grace of God.
Amen.
We lean on Him.
Amen.
God is testing us. He wants us to be more and more like Jesus.
Yes, amen.
These tests will continue to come. That's why it's a growing. Our faith is a growing process.
Yes, it is.
When we're first saved, we are justified. We receive justification by what Jesus did on the cross. And then the rest of our days that God is so merciful and gracious enough to give us, He works on bringing us into sanctification.
Yes, He does. Yeah.
Every day, He wants to make us more and more like His blessed Son, Jesus.
Amen.
Anger is one of those issues, one of those giants that we all have to conquer.
Yes.
It's not going to be easy, but it's necessary.
Yes.
So if you're struggling, take it to the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
Amen.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to help you. Confide in somebody here.
Yeah.
Ask them to hold you accountable.
Yes.
The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You lean on somebody here at the church and you say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Will you please pray for me? And will you please hold me accountable when I mess up?
Yes.
And when we mess up, we go back to God. That's the beauty of Hebrews 4. He didn't put any restrictions on it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace in our time of need.
Amen.
So you take it to God in prayer. You ask Him to help you. I need His help. You need His help.
Yes.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You that it is living and active in our lives. And Father, I pray that You would help us all, Lord, in the defeat the giant of anger. Lord, we can do nothing apart from You. And we need Your help, Lord, in our walk with You. We thank You for all that You do for us, Lord. Please continue Your good work in us.
Yes, God.
May we always honor and glorify You in everything that we do.
Yes.
For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and ask it. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn to 493.